You can't be more wrong. Steve, I don't even want to think of what the bill was last night. Don't even want to think about it. Steve, we have to stop this podcast right here and now. I must utter the following statement.
Buccaneers fans, the holiday season is in full swing. It's week 16 of the NFL. The Bucs are on the cusp, just hours from potentially locking up the first playoff berth since 2007. And who better to talk all things Bucs with than the sage of Tampa Bay sports himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. It's episode 2 this week of the podcast, presented by the legends at Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan and the Curry family, they want to give you the best possible service you've ever seen, and that's what they do every single day. True family-owned dealership, Bill Curry Ford. .com. They'll be open Saturday, ready for you the day after Christmas to get the most amazing end of the year offers around. Check them out now at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, Buccaneers, man, this is it. We are here. And what's striking you today?
I have a chance, gentlemen, to actually be correct for my 2020 Buck prediction of 11-5. Now, that's a long way from 2017, when coming off a 9-7 Buck season, I predicted Dirk Cutter would go 10-6, gentlemen, and we all know what happened. Flat on his ass, back to back 5-11, get him out the door. So I was off by five games. I mean, that's enormous. That's like saying Bette Midler's going to have a number one record in 2021. You can't be more wrong. So I got a chance, Lee. I picked 11-5. You know what? I'm feeling fairly confident about that.
You might do it. Ian Beckles always said it's hard to beat a team twice a year, and he sort of expected the Falcons to sneak up on the Bucs. Maybe that was last week, and the Bucs dodged the bullet. I don't know. But they ought to beat the Lions, especially this week. Is this game going to go off as scheduled? Now, there's been games that have been delayed because of the COVID. But I don't remember the coaching staff getting hit like the Lions have.
Lee, I wouldn't put it past the league to push this game over maybe to a Monday or Tuesday. It wouldn't shock me. As long as they don't have to get involved with a Week 18, you know, playing games in Week 18, which this league doesn't want to do it. They want to keep the playoff schedule as constituted, come hell or high water. That's been their policy. And I don't think they're about to change it unless it's absolutely necessary. Steve, I wouldn't be shocked if the game's pushed back a couple of days. We shall see. But as of now, the Bucs are scheduled to leave about 6 o'clock Christmas Day, 6 p.m., heading to Motown, which I like that rather than the normal 3 o'clock. It gives the players a little more time to be with their families.
Well, let me say this, Sage. As long as we're talking about the game and the COVID situation, of course, the Lions had a player test positive. They closed their practice facility on Tuesday. And then here we are on Wednesday, and a bunch of coaches are out until further notice after testing. And the phrase "until further notice" makes it sound like it's going to be a while. I'll say this, Ira. I don't think coaches having the virus should create a schedule change. I don't think that at all. And they can still coach and prepare through Zoom. No reason they can't do that. It's not every coach. And you know what? I bet the league could find a way to even wire up coaches from home and find a way to let these guys do some in-game work as well through their surfaces and stuff like that. So some of the technology is there. And as long as they have, let's say they have 10 coaches out of 20, I say play the game. There's no reason to stop it. And what is your enhanced risk later in the week with the Lions coming back after Christmas, when there's a chance that a lot of these players are going to say, screw it. I'm not going to be here next year anyway. I'm going to hang out with my 11 cousins on the holiday. And if I get COVID, I get COVID.
Well, Steve, I think you're making a fair point, but you're also making an assumption that in the next 48 hours before the Bucs board that plane for Detroit, that there won't be any further outbreak. So, Lee, that's my point. Who says it's going to stop where it is right now? If it does, I think the game will proceed as scheduled at 1 p.m. on Saturday, so the Bucks will really arrive at the stadium about 2:45 based on what they've been doing the last 9 weeks. But, Lee, who's to say that it won't continue to affect more players and more coaches? And if that happens, the league might decide to push the game back.
That's true. Now, Steve brought up something that's very interesting about wiring the coaches. They can coach remotely. There's actually precedent for that. And I'm not talking just practice. I'm talking games as well. Sports Illustrated earlier this year had an article about a guy. He's originally from Florida, found his way to California to coach high school football. And he coaches, he's a defensive coordinator for some high school in Alaska, but he's not there physically. They have it all rigged up where they have one or two student assistants hold cameras in the end zone, and he coaches remotely. Like, if he sees something at practice, he's in communication with the players. And for games, obviously, they have cameras all over the place, and he's watching the games from home, literally barking out signals on his headset to an assistant coach on the sidelines who's wired with him back in California. So if a high school could pull that off in Alaska, you know the NFL could pull that off.
You know what that reminds me of, Ira? Lee's interesting nugget there. It reminds me of, with all that guy is doing, Jeff Jagodzinski, the old Bucks offensive coordinator, couldn't sit in the damn stadium and call a freaking play. But this guy can do it from his house, watching on television. Unbelievable.
You know, that Jagodzinski affair, guys, and it's hard to say this because we know the history of this franchise, but that's right up there. That's one of the 10 most bizarre episodes in Buccaneer history, and that's saying a mouthful. If I remember back then, we couldn't get the guy in front of a podium. We couldn't get the guy on the phone. Nobody would tell us what kind of progress he was making. It was all such a hush-hush, and what a freaking disaster. You know, that doomed that administration right from the start.
For the fans who never heard of it or don't know, or the younger fans, that was 2009. It was Raheem Morris's first offensive coordinator hired Jeff Jagodzinski from the Packers, who was offensive coordinator there in name only. And they learned by August that he didn't know how to call plays. And it is one of the most stunning stories in the said state of Bucks yore.
And then you have the...
Was he not Matt Ryan's coach at Boston College? He was head coach at Boston College, and I want to say he coached Matt Ryan.
And then on the other side of the ball, gentlemen, we have the Jim Bates affair, another classic. Steve, you can't make this stuff up about this franchise.
It was shocking, really. No, you can't make that kind of stuff up. All right, Ira, but hopefully we'll have a game on Saturday. And if that game is played, it's at 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock kickoff. You will be watching the game in person at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater on 49th Street with Bucks fans. We've got giveaways, fully covered outdoor seating. It's going to be a cold one, Ira. Wear your jacket, but you can warm up with a toasty Big Storm beer, maybe their Dunder and Blixum spiced ale, or a Kolsch that you love so much. And, of course, the food is A+. But this game Saturday, Ira, it may be played without Ronald Jones, who we don't even know if he's healthy from his broken finger, but he's not practicing, and he's on the COVID list. However, Donovan Smith returns. Apparently his close contact that wiped him out of the game last week, his close contact with COVID, he didn't get sick, and he is back.
Yeah, I mean, this Ronald Jones news, it's a little disconcerting because let's say the Bucks win and they 100% wrap up a playoff spot, although the seeding would be undetermined at that point. And Lee, given Jones' situation, at that point, Arians might decide to sit him for the Atlanta game. He might. And I don't think that's a great scenario going into the opening playoff round. I think Ronald Jones needs to be a big, big part of the Bucks going forward in January, especially if they play in some cold weather situations, Lee, where a nice running game would help. So I'm a little surprised. I thought Ronald Jones would be back for the Lions, but apparently not, you know, based on what Arians is saying. It looks worse than doubtful. I think Ronald Jones is a critical factor, Lee. I don't trust Fournette running the football. I don't trust him catching the football. Yeah, he can score from a yard out, Lee. Yeah, he can do that. He can put his head down. But Ronald Jones, you don't replace a guy that's averaging 5 yards a carry. Lee, you just don't. We don't have that around here very often. You know, maybe Doug Martin had a couple of years like that. That's a long time ago. So I'm a little concerned about Ronald Jones at this point.
Are you concerned in the sense that he won't be available for the playoffs? Or are you concerned that he won't be available for a garbage team like the Lions with a horrible defense?
I like him to go into the playoffs with some momentum. With some momentum, just like I want this team to go into the playoffs with some momentum. They could have a four-game winning streak. They could, which would be nice, but it would also be nice to play a complete game. And to me, a complete game includes a running attack that's going to get more than 50 yards. Look.
My idea of a complete game is score every quarter. I don't care how it is.
You know, Steve, I'm not the only one talking about the running game, because if you listen to Arians, he's very consistent about it, especially with the guy under center, how a play action is very important in terms of Brady's effectiveness and in terms of protecting Brady.
I got to hit the pause button there, Ira. If Arians is actually saying that, and I'm not saying he doesn't, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. He doesn't use it. So what? How important is it if he doesn't use it? That, to me, that's just empty talk then.
Well, maybe he's about to put his foot down in Byron Leftwich's backside and tell him he's got to run the ball a little more. I think it's a little too late for that, because I think their slump in the third quarter of the season coincided with, obviously, falling behind early, but also giving up way too early, in my opinion, and more importantly, the opinion of Derek Brooks, giving up on the running game. Even Brooks says when it's 17-0 with three quarters left, you don't throw your playbook out the window, and I think that's been a problem.
Sage, let me say this, this plays to this Saturday's game in some ways, and we touched on it a little bit last week, but you know, I'm going to read to you the last four games of the Lions and their defense, okay? Their 32nd-ranked defense. In the last four games, they've allowed 46 points, 31 points, 30 points to the Bears, and 41 points to the Texans. So they've basically mailed it in on defense over the course of the season. They're averaging 31 points allowed, and it's just getting worse. And so whatever the Bucs do on Saturday, I look at it as, you know, it's kind of an illusion, because you can get the running game back on this team, and I'm not sure what that really means once you get to the playoffs. It's one of the reasons I was really hoping that they at least had one good team left on the schedule, but you know, I'm not going to complain with a couple of patsies.
You know, Steve, your point is well taken about the Lions. By all accounts, they've given up the most defensive touchdowns in football. I think it's 56, and that is appalling. And then you add the field goals on to that. Four touchdowns per week. So I'm with Steve Lee in this respect. I don't think they need Ronald Jones to put up 35 on the Detroit Lions. I agree with
that.
That's
kind of what I was hinting at earlier, yeah.
Yeah, I just want Jones to go in, you know, to the postseason. I don't like the idea of him not touching the ball for 3 or 4 weeks, because I think a lot of times good running backs rely on rhythm, so that would throw him off a little bit. But, Lee, let's be honest. The Lions can't stop anybody. They just can't stop anybody. And if the Bucs, you know, if the Bucs score 0 or 7 points in the first half Saturday, shame on them. Lee, shame on them.
To be a Lions fan, you'd probably find me swinging from a shower head. I mean, I don't know how I could put up with it. I really, they open up the bathroom door. I just couldn't imagine being a Lions fan. And Matt Patricia, you know, Mr. MIT genius, next wunderkind defensive coach, and they have a Mike Smith-like sieve of a defense. It's all amazing.
You know, Steve, teams like the Lions and the Falcon team that we saw last week, they should give us a little perspective on what's going on this year with the Bucs in terms of being 9-5. We're dissecting them, Steve, the last 2 weeks after victories, and picking them apart for not playing well in certain parts of the game. And meanwhile, they're getting W's. And they're 9-5. And Steve, the teams like the Lions and the Falcons remind us of the terrible Buck teams of yore. And not that long ago.
Remind me.
Teams that don't know how to win. Teams that can't close it out. teams that are winning going into the fourth quarter and end up losing, can't make plays in crunch time. So in that respect, Steve, we got to show a little appreciation for a 9-5 season. It's we could have the Detroit Lions on our hands here. And so we got to respect that.
I appreciate it every day, Ira. The fact that just not talking about the draft and not focusing on free agency losses and, you know, all that kind of stuff is just fantastic. And, you know, it seems even more obvious that Tom Brady is going to come back next season. With every passing day, it seems more obvious. I don't think he's, you know, unless he gets injured, he'll be back. And if the world kind of gets normal, it's going to be a very, very exciting and encouraging year. And, you know, the Bucs have obviously huge decisions to make. But that's for after the playoffs, Ira. And I wanted to bring up Brady. You know, 32 touchdowns, Ira. He's one touchdown away from tying the franchise record Jameis set last year. And then, you know, it seems obvious that he'll break the franchise record. And it's just been an incredible run for him. Do you think the nitpicking of his play early in the season, if you reflect back to it, can't throw the deep ball, all this stuff. If you look back at it, do you think it was just overblown media hype? Do you think he was just in a bit of a slump? Do you think it was more timing, or what do you make of that? And do you think that could reappear, or do you think any of that stuff is just in the rearview mirror?
Lee, I think part of it is the resume that he brought to Tampa, unparalleled resume that he brought with the 6 rings, the GOAT, you know, the fanfare. We got Brady. And Lee, you know, really, in retrospect, it's like whatever he did almost wasn't going to be good enough. Lee, I mean, the guy's got a chance to go 11-5 with a team that hasn't won 11 games since 05. Guys, I believe that's correct. 05. I mean, that's a long time. The guy's going to end up with, you know, 38 touchdown passes, Lee. So I think he's kind of a victim in a sense of his own accomplishments. You know, he didn't make the Pro Bowl. I think you could argue he deserved to make the Pro Bowl. He didn't make it. No big deal. But I got a feeling that you're going to underestimate this guy at your peril. Once the postseason rolls around, I hope that the national pundits keep piling on Brady, Lee, over these next 2 weeks. You know the pride that this guy's had. I think Dungy said something the other day that he wasn't one of the 3 or 4 toughest quarterbacks that Dungy faced, and Brady responded, you know, and that's Brady. He loves a challenge, Lee. He loves it. And the Bucs haven't had a guy like that, so I don't know. I think Buck fans would go into the postseason with a lot of confidence if Tom Brady is healthy. I would take my chances with that, Manly. I think you would too. Lee, he's having a good year, but there's a perception out there that he's having a mediocre year.
Well, for his standards, he probably is.
Yeah.
Not having studied Brady super closely for all 20 seasons, I don't know if he would think what kind of year he's actually having. I would have to think it's got to be maybe middle of the pack for his career. But, you know, and I'm sure Brady would say that the season isn't over yet. So how he finishes here, if he can get them on a 4-game winning streak into the playoffs at 11-5, I mean, that's almost worthy of a statue with what we've seen from the Bucs in past years. Ira, it's the holiday season and nobody wants to think about it, but they get their last minute decorations out of the attic or from that closet or under the sink. And next thing you know, they're wet, they're damp, they're moldy. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida's number one mold remediation specialist. They are our friends. They're honest. They're local, a good sized company, but not too big where you can't deal with the owner. And bottom line is Florida's Elite Restoration. That is your first call when you see mold or water or any kind of disaster before your insurance company, because they can help you navigate that in a hurry and give you a free estimate to make sure everything's right.
You know, Steve, Josh and his crew were out in force at Big Storm on Sunday. They bought everybody a beer. What a bunch of great people. And it only reinforced what I originally thought, Steve, that if you have a mold problem, you got to get on it right away. Call Florida's Elite Restoration before you call your insurance company to try to figure out if it's a minor job or something major, and you will get an honest assessment, and that's what you want. You want honesty. And if it's a small job, they'll tell you that. Florida's Elite Restoration, the place to go for all your mold issues.
And they will help you 24/7, Ira. They'll respond extremely quickly. And if it's a big disaster, yes, you've got to call a plumber and stop the bleeding on a big leak, but you can call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, and they're going to help you and guide you, and they work with plumbers. And bottom line is, when it's bad, you have to make sure that it's done right, and you're not ripped off, and you have an honest assessment. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, Devin White, Player of the Week, second time Defensive Player of the Week. And of course, it comes after the Pro Bowl vote. So his 8 sacks, which could be 10 sacks. And as Lee wrote earlier on JoeBucksFan.com, the whole concept that the Bucks could have 3 double-digit sack guys when they went about 10 years without having one. We were all stuck on Simeon Rice's last double-digit sack season until JPP broke it. It's really been quite a turnaround. And I just hope, Ira, that Bucks fans and management have gotten very used to having double-digit sack guys, because on the flip side, they got very used to and almost too comfortable having not a lot of sacks in past seasons. And, you know, pass rush is beyond critical.
Steve, I'm going to flip that over, this pass rush. And, you know, they're among the league leaders in sacks, and I understand that. But that begs the question, why are they giving up 69% completions when they're among the leaders in sacks, quarterback hits, quarterback hurries? What's wrong with the secondary? I mean, you got a guy in Carlton Davis that Bruce Arians is telling us is one of the top 3 cornerbacks in football. None of the 3 of us really believe that. I mean, he's improved, no question about it. Doesn't Bowles have to answer some questions? Lee, if the pass rush is so fierce and so consistent, what the heck's going on? Why are these guys wide open when the quarterbacks don't have that much time to throw? I'll tell you why, Lee, because I think the pass rush has been erratic. When you add it all up at the end of the day, you know, they got their 3 sacks. However, Lee, you watched the first half against Atlanta. It looked like they were in a different area code than Matt Ryan. He had all day to throw, all day. And I think he went through progressions, and a lot of times he might have had the third or fourth option on the play, Lee. So numbers can be skewed a little bit, Lee. I'm not sure the Buck pass rush has been all that consistent this season, despite the impressive numbers.
It's been consistent in the fourth quarter. And we saw what that pass rush did to Cousins, saw what did Matt Ryan. And I will argue, and I wrote this, maybe it's time to start blitzing Devin White in the first quarter. You know, he got 3 sacks. One of them was sort of a gift, but they all came in the fourth quarter. Maybe you start blitzing the guy in the first quarter, you know, when your defense is a sieve. Maybe try something different. And if this guy's such a good pass rusher, as you ragged him up to be when you drafted him, and he's starting to show signs of that, how about not keeping him buried in the first quarter? How about letting him loose in the first quarter? How about taking control of the game defensively right off the bat?
Steve, didn't you say the other day that you can't get in a pattern of blitzing Devin White all the time? Otherwise, teams will be able to take care of him, Steve.
Well, I mean, the more a guy blitzes, the less of a surprise it is, the less effective it usually is percentage-wise. But I'm still all in favor of him blitzing earlier. It's just, you know, you can't go crazy with it, because, you know, their offensive coordinators are good. You know, part of the blitz is the surprise of it, even though Bowles blitzes so much. I got a question for you, though, on that pass rush, though. Sage, Lee, 2 games ago against the Vikings, critical game, Ndamukong Suh gets a game ball from Bruce Arians, and he's got all kinds of pressures. He's got he's all over the quarterback. He's a monster. Great game. And then a week later, he barely plays, not even 2/3 of the snaps, Ira. His total snaps get cut, and the Bucks are playing Jeremiah Ledbetter, who hadn't played since the Packers game. He's getting a lot of work, and it was very bizarre in my mind to see Sue with the season on the line, really, against the Falcons again in a game where, you know, they fell into a hole. He just didn't get a lot of snaps. Is that a red flag? Are they managing him for the playoffs, or what do you make of that, guys?
Steve, if I remember about the Vikings game in particular, I thought the Bucs got some solid contributions using defensive linemen that hadn't played a lot up to that point. Nelson made some plays. There were other guys. You know, Roaches made some plays. I think that might have given Bowles confidence, Lee, to increase the snaps of some guys and keep Sue fresh. Lee, I mean, they're going to the postseason, 98%. They're going to the postseason, and there's nothing wrong with having Sue healthy as he can be at this point in the year. I don't have a big problem with it. Lee, they were playing the Falcons. The Falcons don't run the ball. The Falcons don't have Dalvin Cook. And by the way, neither do the Lions. And then you're playing Atlanta again. So I don't necessarily think Sue's snaps are going to go up from where it was last week in these final two games. And Lee, I think I'm okay with that facing these particular teams.
I mean, there could be a myriad of reasons why Sue's snaps went down. It could be, not feeling good, sore ankle. Maybe they're keen on him, the offense, that is. There could be all kinds of reasons. I'm not ready to panic there quite yet. Now, if he was only getting 20 snaps a game, then that'd be a red flag. I know where Steve's going, but it could be a myriad of reasons. It really could. So I don't know if it's fair to guess what that would be, because we really have no idea.
Sage, in Saturday's game coming up here, we all know we want to see fast starts. It's the biggest broken record in Bucs Nation right now. Yeah. Start fast. Get your head out of your ass. Show some leadership that you claim you have, all that stuff. We know that song and dance on both sides of the ball. But what I've got to ask you, Ira, is specifically on offense, give me two things you really want to see this team do against the Lions, even if it's just the Lions. What do you want to see? Maybe something that they can develop that can get in the heads or further develop and get in the heads of defensive coordinators, something they can put on film for themselves as well as the rest of the league looking at them for the playoffs.
I'd like them to use Antonio Brown in more creative fashion. I've been harping about the slant pass. Sean Sullivan is backing me up, one of the great Buck fans, saying that this guy has made his career turning 12-yard slants into 60-yard touchdowns. He's as good as anybody in this league at doing that. But the Bucs haven't utilized them. Also, how about getting Brown the ball on some end arounds, like the Chiefs used Tyreek Hill. This guy's quite a weapon. Lee, you know that he's healthy. He looks like he's getting more and more excited to play. He reached the end zone last week. I think Brown, at this point in the season, I think he can do a job on the Lions if you give him a chance. If you give him a chance, you know, stop throwing 12-yard square outs to Antonio Brown. I mean, anybody can catch that ball. I would also like to see Scotty Miller used more on the deep ball. I think it's been effective this season. Brady's got to have time, but the Lions pass rush doesn't scare anybody, Lee. Miller's very good about making adjustments mid-flight on long balls. So deep passes to Scotty Miller might get a few flags if you can keep it in the vicinity of Scotty Miller. And Lee, get Antonio Brown more involved in more different ways. I think he's that versatile. Lee, he's a very versatile weapon, and I don't think the Bucs have fully taken advantage of that.
When you said Antonio Brown on end around, I could just hear the groans from Bucs fans across West Central Florida. There's one play Bucs fans barf on the floor about, just thinking about, is an end around. And it goes back to when Greg Olsen was offensive coordinator, and twice a game, Aurelius Ben end around, and they always went nowhere. And to the point where there's a great YouTube cut up video of all the bend arounds. That's what they referred to, nickname, bend around. And they never worked. They never worked. And Olsen would call those two or three times a game. defenses knew it was coming. And there's a great video. There's like 12 of them in a row in one video. And they 3-yard loss, 4-yard loss, get back to the line of scrimmage. And I can just hear all the Bucs fans use an end around. Like, oh, no. There's got to be a better way to use Antonio Brown. And so I sympathize with those fans. I don't want to see Antonio Brown in an end around. I want to see him lined up I back. And as an I formation or even a one back formation, usually, you're so hung up on short passes to the running back. Why? I don't know when you have all these receivers and tight ends, but at any rate, put Antonio Brown back there. Let him catch short passes out of the backfield. I don't see there's any 11th commandment that you can't use Antonio Brown in that way. I'd like to see that. Yeah, creativity would be nice. Points. I want to see points in the first quarter.
Steve, we have to stop this podcast right here and now. I must utter the following statement. DeKemper, you have done something I did not think was possible until about 5 minutes ago. You mentioned Aurelius Ben and Antonio Brown in the same sentence. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was me or Lee who coined the phrase bend around, but it was a Joe Bucks fan a thing back in 2010, and it definitely stuck, Iris. So the bend around has revisited itself here on the podcast. Ira, Bucks fans have to remember BillCurryFord.com. Shop right now for all the great end-of-year offers. General Manager Sean Sullivan is our friend, our personal friend, your friend, because he will help you any way he can. You can email him right through the website. You can call him. And just amazing offers, transparent pricing, Bill Curry Ford. And don't forget the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Sage, before we get to the picks, I wanted to bring this up in the same context of what we were talking about as far as what we want to see on offense. Mike Evans, I don't have the exact number in front of me. I want to say he's about 220 yards from the 1,000-yard mark. So a tough get, however, a very attainable get against these two teams coming up. Do you think the Buccaneers make an effort, an extra effort is what I'm saying, to get him very involved this week, so set him up to go off? And, you know, maybe if that works, great. And then he doesn't have a lot of pressure. There's no pressure in the following week. Or do you think they just don't care about it? And how do you think that goes?
I think it's very much on their minds from Bruce Arians on down. You know, it's not a minor streak. It's a historic streak. And I don't think they're going to let it go by the board if they can do something about it. And Lee, now that he's within, you know, striking distance with two games left and coming off a big effort against Atlanta, I think he's got a real chance to get it. And I think the Bucks, from Arians right down to Brady, I think Brady's very aware of it. And look, it's not like you're veering away from your game plan. I mean, Mike Evans should be your focal point. I mean, all things being equal, Lee, he's the guy. With all due respect to Godwin and Gronkowski and Antonio Brown and Cameron Brate and Scotty Miller, Mike Evans is the guy. You know, we're not talking about trying to get him 400 yards, maybe a little over 200 in two games. Very doable, Lee, doable. You know, unfortunately, pass interference penalties won't count towards Evans' yardage totals. But I think he's got a real chance, Lee, and I think Arians, Leftwich, and Brady are all very aware of it, and they're going to try to make this thing happen.
Well, like you said, Ira, Evans ought to be a big part of your game plan. I mean, he's borderline Hall of Fame player, and so if he isn't, there's something seriously wrong with the offense. Yeah, the only guy I could see that would have an issue with that. Now, of course, we don't expect Arians to coddle Evans if, God forbid, it's a close game this week or next week. You know, they're looking for a win. So I understand, I get that, and that's responsible. But if it's a blowout, I think every player on the Bucks, with the possible exception of you know who, wouldn't have an issue with it. You know who? I think we both know what we're talking about. I'm talking about, you know, he's got a little bit of a fragile ego. At least he's demonstrated in the past. I don't know how he'd take it, but he probably won't be around, you know, 3 more games, 4 more games. So I hope that they try to get Edwards that record, provided that the win's in the bag.
For the record, Evans has 779 yards, so he needs 221. Very attainable, like you said, Ira. And last year against the Lions, same defensive concepts, Jameis Winston threw for 458 yards, and Evans didn't play in that game. So,
and the Lions might have a worse defense than they did last year, Stephen. Might.
Maybe. Maybe. So I'm excited. I'm rooting for them. I'm going to write about it, and I hope they do make that effort. Like Lee said, in a blowout, if they can get in that situation, then it makes it even more fun and acceptable to, you know what, Mike Evans can take five targets in the fourth quarter and we'll see what happens. So I think Tom Brady's very aware of it too, Ira, just because he has such a great sense of history, and he doesn't want to be the quarterback who ended Mike Evans' streak, and it gives Brady another piece of history, not that he needs any more. So I don't know. I hope he pulls it off. Hope he pulls it off.
Lee, I think even if Evans publicly downplays it, which he might, you know, in social media or whatever, I think it means a lot to Mike Evans, as it should, Lee, as it should.
Yeah, an NFL record like that, yeah, that's big.
Yeah, seven consecutive years, 1,000 yards or more to start a career. I mean, Ira, that might make him legitimately, that might slam dunk him for the Hall of Fame if he can you know, play 12 years and rack up some more yards. That might be enough, just right there.
You're right. I mean, that you know, voters like things that separate guys. They like things that are unique, which is one of the reasons we want Ronnie Barber in that freaking voting room, because he's one of the more unique defensive backs in NFL history. And you're right. Evan starts off with seven straight 1,000-yard seasons. He's just hitting his prime, guys. He ain't retiring. Who knows the numbers that this guy's going to end up with?
And if you think about it a little bit more, you know, Randy Moss, who he's tied with, goes back to the 1990s. So if you think about Evans doing this in the passing league era and nobody else has actually done it, it stands out even more. All right, Ira, we need picks. So you pick the order. You want Lee to go first. You guys are tied. I'm a game behind on the season. Who do you want? What do you want the order to be, Ira?
I believe we'll start with Lee, then yourself, and then I will go third.
I'll take Buck 34-31. Don't forget, there's a hell of a good quarterback on the other side of the line of scrimmage the Bucks are facing. So I expect Stafford to put up points and yards, but that defense is just horrible for Detroit, or as Howard Stern say, horrible.
34-30. All right, Ira, I'm going to play to the 1 o'clock game after Christmas mentality, and the Lions obviously mailing it in. Not that Matthew Stafford's quitting and not that they haven't put up some points, but I just think that it's got train wreck game written all over it for the Lions, in part because of the date and, they've got the disconnection of the COVID mess and all that stuff. So I think the Bucks are going to wing it around, and the Bucks will be looking to put up those extra points for Mike Evans late. So I'm going to say Bucks 38, Lions 21.
All right, and I think the Bucks will win and go to 10-5. I'm going to pick 30-24. I shade towards Lee on this. I think it's going to be, unfortunately, competitive, because Lee, until they change this pattern, they haven't changed this pattern until they do it.
That's fair.
And
that's fair.
And yeah, Steve, this is 9 weeks. I mean, this is not a couple of games. 9 weeks, they can't do much in the first quarter. They just can't. And they let the team, hang around, and the Bucks have to rally. So I'm going to say 30-24. Bucks clinch a playoff game and hone in on the number five playoff seed. They would be one win away at that point, and that's a whole subject for next week, gentlemen, but I got the Bucks winning 30-24.
All right, Lee, Ira,
I'll
leave this up to you, and it's got to be a unanimous decision to make it fair. Are you guys up for me right now to provide a unique tiebreaker for your season, since it looks like you guys will probably tie just based on picking the same teams the rest of the year? I have a unique tiebreaker that you guys could pick right now.
Okay, Steve, we're ready.
All right, so it's a two-part tiebreaker. Question one, Will the Bucks start fast on offense this week, meaning scoring a first quarter touchdown? Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
All right. So Lee says yes. Ira says no. Now on defense, will they start fast on defense, as in not allowing a score on the first two drives? Will they start fast on defense? Yes or no?
No.
The Lions will put up some points on their first two drives. In other words, they will not be held scoreless after their first two drives.
All right. So you say no. The Buccaneers will not start fast on defense. Lee says yes, they will start fast on defense.
Well, no. I said no, they will not start fast.
Okay. So that's
yes, the Lions will score quickly. Yeah.
Okay. So it's both.
So Ira and I are the same.
Ira, you and Ira are exactly the same on defense, but we have the discrepancy on offense. That's beautiful. Sage, we're heading out of here. Why don't you give Buck fans a holiday address, as only you can, as we remind everybody to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen. Get a nice free alert. And our thanks, of course, to our great sponsors we heard about, Florida's Elite Restoration. Get to floridaselite restoration.com. Big Storm Beer, stock up for the holiday season. It's fantastic. Florida's best craft beer. And we all know about the legend of Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. That's BillCurryFord.com.
I can't wait. My wife puts all kinds of boxes and all kinds of things under that tree, and I can't wait because I need underwear and socks, gentlemen. That's what it's all about after 39 years of marriage, underwear and socks.
All right. Ira, I'm going to help you mind this. This is a great story. I'm going to jog your memory. You and your wife on Christmas Eve like to settle down and watch a comforting, easygoing movie. You know, kind of maybe holiday spirit, but something to feel good about yourself. I know you like the artistic, artsy-fartsy movies, not the mainstream. And so there was an Academy Award-winning movie you had not seen yet, and you didn't know what to expect. So on Christmas Eve, you and your wife sat down to watch a copy of, and this is an all-time Christmas classic movie, Flags of Our Fathers. Am I right?
Well, at the end of the movie, I turned to her and I turned to my wife and said, "Not enough violence, honey. Not enough violence."
Ira, if the Bucks lose Saturday, you guys can snuggle up and watch Death Wish 3 with Charles Bronson. All right, get out of here.